am delighted to introduce to you one of our very own. Please give it up for Jason Domer.
Test, test, test. Some noise. I see me okay.
As long as you don't get like a watermelon out.
Wow, pretty loud here. So it's good to be with the church family. If I may, let me just start us off with a word of prayer. If you could join me. Lord, I thank you for the gift of your word. And I just invite your Holy Spirit to come now and just minister to us with your word. Lord, I may fumble through this, Lord, but Lord, you're all I need. And just pray that you would use this time and again, minister to us through your word. In your name, amen. So, isn't God's timing interesting? Pastor asked me to speak on this particular set of verses. I'm only going to do 108, Psalms 108. Sorry, I didn't get to the second two. But the timing of this is really interesting because in 1995, I was a junior at Seattle Pacific University, and it was I was in chapel. It was homecoming week, and the alumni of the year was speaking, and his name was Eugene Peterson. And he, I didn't remember, but he spoke on this passage, and it was. I remember it really being really impactful. And so, 10 years fast forward, plus or minus a few years, I'm playing with one of my new gadgets, and I'm on iTunes, and in Apple added this new thing called iTunes U, iTunes University. And one of the first universities to post a bunch of their content was Seattle Pacific University. It was really, if you go there today, it's like everyone's there. But like when they first rolled it off, SPU was one of the few. And so I'm just kind of exploring through this material, and I come across this talk that Eugene Peterson gave. So about 10 years later, and you know, it just happened to be something I happened upon. You know, again, God's timing and all this. And I listened to it and was really blessed by it all over again, right? And then let's fast forward another 10 years, and Pastor asks me to speak on this. So it's been really neat, and it's kind of personal to how God has kind of kept bringing this back to me. And so I'm going to read through it, and I hope it blesses you for how where God wants to meet you in this verse, and I'm going to share a few things of where he met me. Another thing that's really interesting in this timing is just last weekend I was with a group of 11 guys from my college days. And my buddy, who is a professor at the Air Force Academy, he invited 12 guys and 11 guys came. And he labeled it Recalibration 2020. And it was kind of, let's look back upon the last 20 years and let's look forward to the next 20 years and kind of recalibrate ourselves. And this verse just really fit. And it spoke to me, and it's just a blessing. And so I want to share a little later on in the verse, I'll share a little bit more about that. But so really, really neat to see God's timing and all this. So this is a Psalm of David. And if I were just to give an overarching comment, it really is a framework for how we approach the battle of life. And David is kind of exemplifying this for us. He's I think, giving us a great example of how to face life, the battle that we find in life. So first I want to start off by just, let's just read the text because that's better than me talking about it. But I've been joking to Skip about there's a Twitter Bible, right? Someone basically took every book of the Bible and they summarized it into 140 characters, which is how long a tweet can be. Okay, so here's the tweet for Psalm 108. My heart is steadfast, O God. Your love is great above the heavens. God has spoken. Judah is my scepter. Help us against the enemy. And now I'm just going to go ahead and read once all the way through this. And I'm going to read from the Message from Eugene Peterson put this together. Again, kind of a scholar of the original Hebrew, but this is a much freer translation. I'm ready, God, so ready, ready from head to toe, ready to sing, ready to raise a God song. Wake, soul, wake, lute, wake up, you sleepyhead son. I'm thanking you, God, out in the streets, singing your praises in town and country. The deeper your love, the higher it goes. Every cloud's a flag to your faithfulness. Soar high in the skies, O God. Cover the whole earth with your glory. And for the sake of the one you love so much, reach down and help me, answer me. That's when God spoke in holy splendor. Brimming over with joy, I make a present of Shechem. I hand out Succoth Valley as a gift. Gilead's in my pocket, to say nothing of Manasseh. Ephraim's my hard hat, Judah my hammer. Moab's a scrub bucket, a mop for the floor. I mop the floor with Moab, spit on Edom, rain fireworks all over Philistia. Who will take me to the thick of the fight? Who will show me the road to Edom? You aren't giving up on us, are you, God, refusing to go out with our troops? Give us the help for the hard task. Human help is worthless, and God will do our very best. He'll flatten the opposition for good. Whew, that's good stuff. So there's five sections in this psalm, and I just want to I want to reread the section and then just make a few comments. So the first section is verses 1 and 2. I'm ready, God, so ready, ready from head to toe, ready to sing, ready to raise a God song. Wake, soul, wake, lute, wake up, you sleepy head, son. So I don't know about you, but I don't always feel so ready like that. I don't feel that. But one of the things I took from this, it was funny because I get these tweets also from someone has given Eugene Peterson quotes that they tweet out. So I just got Eugene Peterson quote that really fit this. And he says, prayer and poetry are the closest of kin. In poetry, we say it. In prayer, we become what we say. So the lesson I'm learning from this is the importance of before you feel it, just say it. I mean, sometimes just reading the Psalms are invigorating because, I start by just praising him, and then the feeling in his presence my soul kind of wakes up to him. So I think that's the thing. These Psalms are so good at help priming the pump of our soul. The other thing I like about this one first little section is clearly this is happening in the morning. So I don't know about you, but I know how important it is that I try to wake my soul as early as possible, and when I wake up and I'm just not quite there yet, and just even just quoting a scripture just to wake my soul. The other thing I want to say is this, the word wake soul really grabbed onto me because I feel like that's the battle that we're all in every day. I feel like we can just go through a lot of the motions, but it's that battle for being awake to God and not asleep to the battle. I feel like there's a battle that God wants to lead us through, but to do that, we really need to be awake to him. And the Psalms are such a great way to try to wake ourselves up. I think, the enemy has got all of his guns pointed to us, and that really is part of that's the battle. There's so many distractions and ways where God is, the enemy is trying to keep us asleep to that simple idea of being awake to God. And so I love the way that this psalm is kind of setting the stage. We really need to be awake to him. So now we're going to go to the next section. I'm thanking you, God, out in the streets, singing your praises in town and country. The deeper your love, the higher it goes. Every cloud's a flag to your faithfulness. Soar high in the skies, O God. Cover the earth with your glory. And for the sake of the one you love so much, reach down and help me. Answer me. So I don't know about you, I think you totally agree. Isn't it great to just rest in his love for us? To just be reminded of that? What a great foundation. as this psalm kind of unfolds, to rest in his love. So now there's a pretty interesting transition here, because up till now in the psalm, it's all been all these declarations of I and me. But right here in the middle, there's this section where God speaks. So it's a great, you know, now he's coming to say something to us. And here's what he says. That's when God spoke in holy splendor, brimming over with joy. I make a present of Shechem. I hand out Succoth Valley as a gift, Gilead's in my pocket, to say nothing of Manasseh. Ephraim's my hard hat, Judah my hammer, Moab's a scrub bucket. I mop the floor with Moab, spit on Edom, rain fireworks all over Philistia. So when I look at this, I love how he starts off with brimming with joy. I love how he looks at that. But when God lays this out, this is a pretty epic, you know, picture of all these places. And you'll notice that the first six places are basically describing the Holy Land. And the last three are describing bitter enemies of Israel. Just evil, evil places. And I think that one of the things I take away from this is that when I look at my life and I look at all the areas of my life that I could describe as Holy Land, things God have done, blessings he's given me, but you also, there's those parts in your life that are hard and difficult and painful, right? And those are the Edoms in your life, right? But God's saying, I'm using it all, right? God is brimming with joy to unravel his plan of salvation, and he's going to use it all. And so that's a great comfort to me, to know that he's going to use it all. So the next section, I think, is really interesting, because the psalm takes a really interesting turn, and it kind of, this is where the psalm really kind of punches at you. And it says, who will take me to the thick of the fight? Who will show me the road to Edom? And part of me is like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I don't want to go to Edom. That's the bad guy, right? Why? And then you start to realize the broader context of the psalm, as I've already touched on. This is a psalm about going into battle. And God's taking us to Edom. And so I wanted to step back a little bit and just tell you a story about my trip this last weekend. So my buddy took us to Colorado Springs. It's the Air Force Academy. We had a great time singing and sharing, and you know, rock climbing and frisbee golf, and just it was just a whole bunch of cool stuff. But one of the coolest things we did is we went to the Air Force Academy. We sat down, had lunch with some of the cadets, and then we went up into kind of the holy of holies of the leadership of the Air Force Academy. So picture this big conference room, this big long table, and these big windows that open up out onto the Air Force Academy. And you know what's at the center, the architectural center of the Air Force Academy, is a church, this big, beautiful church. And I was going up the stairs to this conference room, I read this sign. This is the Academy core values. It says, integrity first, service before self, excellence in all we do. And so this is a place that it's a battleground for sure. It's an absolute battleground between, you know, rooted Judeo-Christian values and secularism. And in this conference room is this big long table, and around this table are all these blue chairs. Okay, and each one of these chairs are, this is how, you know, when you talk about having a seat at the table, this is actually, you know, to make decisions for the Air Force Academy, you have to have a seat at the table. And each one of these blue, big blue plush chairs are, Congress has to vote on these people. So everyone who has a seat at this table is because Congress voted them in to this seat. And then there's all these small seats on the outside where all the lesser folks sit, and they don't have a vote, but they're there to advise. And that's my buddy Nick, sits in the back, you know, little peanut gallery. But anyways, he got us into this place because it was, you know, the finals were over and the whole place was empty. And so here's a bunch of guys, 11 guys, all sitting around this table, just kind of reflecting, each of us reflecting on the last 20 years, kind of looking forward to the first 20 years, right? And what I realize is that that theme of Edom shows up in people's lives. It shows up in all of our lives, right? I mean, there's the Edoms. There's the big ultimate Edom that God is fighting against, and we're wrapped up in that battle. But there's smaller Edoms that kind of are in each one of our lives. And just to hear each one of these men, the stories they told, you know, the stories we all told, and just able to be in this safe place and able to pour out, you know, the different pain and, you know, sickness and challenges in relationships. And, you know, but again and again, God's victory, you know, that God marches us to Edom for victory, right? And it was just really encouraging for us to be in this place where, so my buddy Nick, he was just giving us a little bit of insight into the fact that there's people who sit at this table who hate his guts because he stands up for different things, right? The curriculum decisions, and they know the fact that Nick actually leads on his own off-duty time, leads a group called Oregon, what is it called? Officers Christian Fellowship. So there's a whole bunch of cadets that he meets with, and they come out to his house. And so there's people who hate, there's secular people, there's Moab-like people there who are just entirely against Nick. And Nick has been granted favor by certain people also. You know, actually the head of the whole thing has granted Nick favor. So, you know, my buddy Nick is sometimes in a really lonely place and really, you know, really being, you know, heading to Moab and having to fight. So it's interesting that the wording here is still, it shifts back to me, you know, who will lead me. And then it shifts to us. It says, you aren't giving up on us, are you, God? You're not refusing to go out with our troops. And the reason I love David for exemplifying this is how it's important that we get to be real with God. And here David is questioning, you know, are you gonna be there for us? We're going straight towards the enemy. Are you gonna be with us? And you also realize that God puts us in this position because it's an opportunity to exercise our faith. Sometimes we're waiting on him. God says go, and we're waiting on him and believing that he will come just when we need him. And in the last section, section 5, and I love how this is also us, so I think it's something we don't have to do this alone, but it ends on this triumphant note. Give us help for the hard task. Human help is worthless. And God will do our very best to flatten the opposition for good. So this has been a big theme for me is, you know, the beauty of the last 20 years has been God showing me again and again, coming up to the end of yourself and realizing, wow, I can't do it. I'm way over my head. And just realizing how much I want to lean on my own understanding, you know, my own human ability. It's worked for me in the past, and I want to keep using it. But one of the big things that God spoke to me in this recalibrate was just the beauty of really resting in Him and partnering with Him. And I can't battle the Edoms in my life without Him. And He's you know, God's going to be victorious. You know, He just will be. And it's just that's a beautiful moment when you, I think you, when you're first saved, you, there's a point of surrender. But I think God keeps bringing you back to these points of surrender. You know, you have to keep surrendering because He's going to take you into battle. He's taking you right to Edom. And, you know, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I would feel no evil. It's like, wow, that's an amazing place to be. And that's our life, right? I just love the fact that David is showing us here kind of a framework for life that we don't face Edom alone. You know, we don't face Edom in our own strength. And God really wants to be glorified by you know, coming and filling us and allowing us to fight this battle. So I don't know what your Edom is, and I think we all could point to things that we've faced in the past and God has been glorified, or things we're facing right now. But I love the way that David has given me a framework for, you know, every day kind of keeping thy soul awake to God, and not being afraid of this battle. And how, I mean, how glorious God is glorified when we can be in that, the midst of that battle, and feel his peace or his strength or his, the words we need to say at just the right time. You know, I've spent so much of my life wanting to be in control and get everything prepared. And God's just saying, hey, come join me. You know, come join me in this, and let's go face Edom, and you're not alone. And so this has been very encouraging. So I think I'll just a parting thought would be the gift of God's word, the gift of prayer, and the gift of worship. And how God knows he's so worthy of our worship. And this is a psalm of worship heading into battle. But God knows how good worship is for us. And he knows how much it will change us. And so in prayer, we become what we say. So I just encourage, you know, God has encouraged me to use the Psalms a lot more, to do battle, you know, do battle here. And I'm in a good place as I head out. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for that we're not alone in the battle. And Lord, please help us every day, Lord, early as we can, and sometimes moment after moment in the day. Help us to realize that the battle starts in our soul being awake to you. And please help us to be awake to the battle, the fact that every day, at the very beginning of the day, the enemy wants to put us to sleep. So help us to use your word, use worship to wake up our soul. And thank you so much for that power and that comfort. In your name, amen.
God spoke to you? Yes? God spoke. I'm ready to sing a God song. I'm going to wake up my soul in the morning, and I'm going to determine to go out and sing a God song. Because I know God is with me. How many of you have been really, really, sometime in your life, just dead tired? Do you know what it is to be absolutely exhausted? The only thing you want to do is get to sleep. Right? That's not a time when you want to be invited out. It's not a time when somebody calls you up and wants you to do something. You just don't want to do anything. You know what that's like. And then the morning comes. And you get up and you do it all over again, right? Mm-hmm. Jason, thank you. We need to start our day. How did you say we need to refresh our soul? Or, huh? Wake up our soul. I like that. Soul, wake up. Because God might have something for us to do today. Amen? Well, God bless you, Dayspring. It's great to be together, to fellowship with him. His word goes forth. And it went forth this morning. So have a great day. I look forward to seeing you again next week. Our very own Don Mayles will be in the pulpit. Don is excited. He thought it was today, but then he read the email and learned that it was next week. So you can practice all week long.
Yeah,
that'd be good. God bless you, church. You are dismissed.